About 26 trillion cells of the body are replaced every 28 days of human life. The ability to manufacture almost a complete new body each month is one of the fantastic mysteries of physiology. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the machine which repairs itself. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Now today we want to look at one of the most fascinating evidences of creationism as opposed to evolution. I suppose in no other area is so much heated conviction and dogmatism revealed. The reason for this is because we're dealing with a doctrine that can't really be proved scientifically or by any of the other commonly applied laboratory methods. After all, nobody was here when the earth was made and when life was first created. Our belief in this matter must be based on faith. In the case of the creationist, his faith is placed in the Bible. But with the evolutionist, he puts his faith in philosophy. Since there's no scientific evidence, certain theories may be propounded in seeking an explanation of the physical world around us. But they must not be presented as scientific truth. Believe me, friend, when I say this, it's a world of miracle and marvel. The evolutionist and creationist all look on the same intricate pattern of life and organization, but their explanation of the world around them is entirely different. From the microscopic to the immense, tremendous wonders are revealed in both form and function. I don't think that any should stir us with more astonishment than the body itself. How can the evolutionists explain the existence of such a delicate, complex machine as the human system? There's only one answer, really, and that is a mighty, infinite intelligence is behind it. The evolutionist says, no, nature did it. Blind chance and time produced every organ and developed every function of the human body. Now, this position is one of the most amazing that we can imagine, because only a fraction of the wisdom and mystery of our body is even understood by the greatest scientist of the day. Now, is chance and blind nature able to baffle the keenest intellects of the human race? Could mere happenstance produce the highly complicated functions of both body and mind of a human being? Utterly fantastic. We couldn't believe that for a moment. Every cell of the body is a miracle in itself. By the way, this is the only machine that can repair itself. Man can hardly duplicate even the simplest processes of our bodily functions. Of course, some of them could be duplicated, but what would it require, friends, for man to perform some of the simple functions of our body? It's been estimated that it would require machinery and electronic equipment to fill a building as large as the Empire State Building. And then it would take all the electrical energy of Niagara Falls to operate the equipment and all the water of Niagara Falls to keep it cool. Yet substances are produced in the body by a few microscopic cells in just a fraction of a second that would require weeks to produce by giant machinery that would cover acres of floor space. Now, according to the evolutionist, man's origin goes all the way back to a little one-celled amoeba. Proof for this? Of course, there isn't any. The fact is that until the invention of a microscope, there was no scientific evidence of the existence of an amoeba. There were no fossil remains, of course, because they're made out of pure protoplasm, which is just about like jelly. Now, don't misunderstand me, friends. I do believe that these one-cell forms of life were in existence from the very beginning of creation, as Genesis 1:20 reveals. God said, "Let the waters bring forth the moving creatures that hath life." But I do say now, after that there was no scientific proof about the existence of those things long before man appeared. Now, this is what the evolutionist claims. Yes, there are multitudes of those one-cell forms of life, like the amoeba and the paramecium and the protozoa and so forth. And by the way, the zoologists observing these cells through the microscope can see just as much difference between them as we can see between cows and horses. Their methods of moving and of eating and reproducing are different. But, friends, there's always one thing in common with these one-cell forms of life. They only reproduce after their kind. There's no reason to believe that an amoeba ever changed into any higher form of life. Now, here's a question the evolutionists can't answer. How is it that the dinosaurs and some of the other great creatures have perished from the earth, literally disappeared from the stage of history. And yet the one-celled ancestor remains here by the billions, and not one of them is in the process of changing after countless generations of being observed. Yeah, that's a real question for the evolutionist friends. Why hasn't the little amoeba and the paramecium and so forth gone through radical changes? They're still with us. Yes, another interesting fact, too. The cells are all different in these different families or species. You take chromosomes, for example. These are found in all cells, of course, and they determine the characteristics and the family lines. There's a different number of chromosomes for all species. And this makes crossbreeding impossible, by the way. Cats and dogs can only reproduce after their kind. They can't form any kind of unholy mixture between the different families of animals. This is interesting because it actually fits in exactly with what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians 15, 38 and 39, we read this, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds." So in other words, friends, no matter how much alike they might look on the outside, they're all different. It's a different kind of flesh, as the Bible puts it. How often a man and a monkey may look alike as far as the external form is concerned. The hand of a monkey and the hand of a man may be very similar. But does this prove that there's any kind of relationship between the two forms of life? This is looking at the morphological evidence, which is only the external evidence. But we're more concerned with histology, which deals with the minute internal makeup of cells and so forth. Now, if there's going to be any scientific evidence, we insist on it being more than just mere external form and shape. It's got to be based on some very careful scientific examination, a histological approach, in other words. Well, it all reminds me of a little boy who came in one day and told his dad very excitedly, "Hey, Dad, at last I know how horses are made." And his father said, "Well, how is that, son?" "Why," he said, "the blacksmith makes them." And his father said, "Oh, no, how did you come to such a conclusion as that?" "Well," he said, "I saw him." And his father said, "What did you see? Really, you didn't see him making a horse." He said, "Well, he wasn't making it, but he was just finishing one up. He was just nailing his feet on as I came by." Well, that's a little bit amusing, friends, but really, if we just take the appearance of things, we might be led to many false conclusions like that. Now, what do we find on close microscopic examination of these cells? Well, not only are cells different within families, but even the cells of different organs within the same body differ considerably from each other. Apparently, there are certain elements in certain cells for certain organs, and they'll not function in or for any other part of the body or any other organ of the body. Now, why do I say that? Well, in a living body, cells are constantly dying. The longest that most cells can live is about 28 days, and the shortest about 7 days. So all 26 trillion cells of the body are replaced almost completely within every 4-week period. Now, this is all except the brain cells. Now, the brain cells we're excluding from this because they are not replaced after they die. But now, friends, as far as the rest of the body is concerned, that's a tremendous rate of cell replacement, isn't it? But what happens to all the dead cells? Well, they make a complete circuit in the bloodstream and return to the parent organ where they died. For example, the liver cells will enter the bloodstream and make a complete circuit and come right back to the liver again. But friends, those liver cells will not be received by any other organ of the body. They'll come back only to the liver. Heart cells will come back only to the heart. They would be expelled by the lungs or any other organ of the body. Now, when they return, what happens to them? They're broken down into component elements and used again in the creation of new cells. Now, that's very interesting, friends. They're almost like a fertilizer to produce other cells in the same organ of the body. Now, these facts about cells prove beyond any question that man has no relationship to other animals because the bodies are different. The cells are different. And even the different parts of the body itself contain cells that differ from other parts of the body. So there could be no question of one form of life turning into another form. They all have two things in common, bodies of dust and the breath of life, but that ends the kinship. Man has reason and conscience, which sets him apart as a different order of being entirely. I read about one man who was trying to determine if monkeys had any human characteristics. Now, this researcher was trying to get a monkey to put a few simple blocks together, like a child might be asked to do. But the monkey wasn't responding very well, and the man finally thought that maybe the animal was a bit embarrassed by his presence. So he slipped out the door and went into the other room next door and bent down to look through the keyhole to watch the monkey. To his utter amazement, he saw on the other side the monkey peering through the keyhole at him from the other side. So he found at least one human characteristic to the monkey: curiosity. No, the missing link is still missing, friends, and always will be. There's not one instance of animals crossing the lines of his own families and reproducing other species of animals. Now, one of the most unreasonable claims of evolution relates to the accidental development of the complicated human body. The marvel of this intricate machine furnishes the strongest proof against the claims of evolution. Only an intelligent designer and master engineer could have developed this miracle of form and function. Consider the heart, for example. It's an amazing pumping machine about the size of a human fist, but it pumps all 6 quarts of blood through the entire body every minute. In a lifetime, 41 million gallons of blood will be pumped from each ventricle of the heart, and that's 150,000 tons. And that little organ has no rest any longer than 3/4 of a second. Every 24 hours, that heart does an amount of work equal to what the leg muscles of a man would perform in climbing a mountain 13,000 feet high. Now just think of that, friends. The heart, in fact, is a powerful muscle which has a very powerful contraction. But what causes it to beat? Well, it has a kind of electrical timing apparatus called a pacemaker that generates a tiny electrical impulse 70 times a minute, which sweeps across the muscle fibers of the heart, causing it to contract. Now, friends, they can call this a pacemaker if they like, but I prefer to call it the power of God. To consider this mysterious generator as a product of chance is just too incredible. We can't believe that, not for a moment. In fact, you know something, it would take a lot of faith, in fact, a faith only that an evolutionist could muster up, to really believe that this timing of that little impulse of the heart that keeps it beating exactly the right pace in order to provide blood for all the different portions of the body and organs of the body. Oh, I tell you, it would take a lot of faith to believe that that had to happen by chance or by some very fortunate accident. No, it's not an accident at all, friends. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.